Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Nun Gimel. The title heading that we see on the side of our Gemara, under the Nosei heading, we've written Dvorim Shenemru Bishas Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The things that were said on the parts of the participants, on the part of the participants in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the rejoicing that we have been studying in the last couple of dapim regarding the Beis HaMikdash and the water libations that were conducted on the holiday of Sukkot. So the Mishnah, and you have a quote from the Mishnah here on the second line from the top, Chasidim Vanshe Maiseh, and it mentions Ve'oimrim Lefneim Divrei Shirois Ve'Sushbochois. It's interesting to note that there are two terms. There's Hasidim and there's Anshei Maisa. The Rashi on the second line from the top mentions Elu Hasidim Kol Chosid Havi Chosid Meikoro. The term Chosid, pious one, righteous one, is a term referring to someone who, as a youth, as a child, grew up as a Chosid. There's another situation of people that didn't develop that way. They were either misguided or they failed in their battle against the Yetzer Hara. However, in the course of time, they became aware of their Judaism, of the Torah, and returned what is termed Baalei Tshuva, people who returned to the Torah way. There are two categories then that we will make reference to in this source, and the expression of the Mishnah, Hasidim and Anshei Maaseh, indicates there are in fact two groups that we'll be featuring. So now we look in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Yesh Mehen Omrim, there are some during this Simchas Beis HaShoeva that the praise that they said to the Almighty was as follows, Ashrei Yalduseinu Shlobisha Es Ziknuseinu. Fortunate for us, our youth does not embarrass our old age. Elu Chasidim v'Anshei Maaseh. This is a reference to the pious ones and the Anshei Maaseh. And this, by the way, contradicts a bit the explanation we gave before, indicating that the Anshei Maaseh reflects upon the Baalei Tshuva. But nevertheless, the Mishnah itself does refer to two groups of people. The Yesh Mehen Omrim, and there are those that say Ashrei Ziknuseinu Shekipro Es Yalduseinu. Fortunate are we that in our old age, our improved ways atones for our youth. Elu Baalei Tshuva. That's a reference to those who returned to the proper way, to the Torah lifestyle. Elu V'Elu Omrim, both groups continue to say, Ashrei Mishalo Chota, fortunate is the one that did not sin, Umishachota Yashuv Yimcho Lo. He who did sin will atone, return, and be forgiven. Tanya, we have a marking that we want to feature here. It's a triangle, and you can see on the side, under our Mivne heading, we've highlighted the expression, Kishoe Samech B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Different things that took place when they experienced Simcha in Beis HaShoeva, and you'll see we open with Hillel HaZokein. Further down the page you see Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and further after that you see Reb Yeshua ben Chananya. Descriptions of what took place during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So Omru Tanya, Omru Alov al Hillel HaZokein. It was said regarding the famous personality, Hillel the sage, Kishoyo Someach B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Omar came. When he was rejoicing during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he would say the following, Im ani kan, hakol kan, vim eini kan, mi kan. Now here we cannot translate this at face value, but first we have to add, as Rashi explains, that Hillel is speaking as if he were representing the Almighty. So the Almighty is saying, Im ani kan, if I'm here, then everything is here. And if I'm not here, then what is here? So Rashi adds to this explanation. We'll pick up the Rashi on the first narrow line. Kol zman sheni chofetz bebayis hazeh shechinos yishruya bo, as long as I am desirous of this house, the Beis HaMikdash, and my divine presence dwells here, yehei kevodo kayam, v'yavo hakol kan, and its honor will be maintained, and everyone will stream toward this place. V'im tachte'u v'asalei shechinosi mi yavo kan, but if you sin, and that causes me to remove my divine presence from this house, so who will come? As you can see, we have a bracketed section. It's a rather long bracketed section. On the side, we have a starred note. Achrei hasograyim, haGemara mamshicha b'inyan Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Whereas after this bracketed section, the Gemara will continue with matters relating to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the festivities regarding the water libations of Sukkis. Besoicham, within the brackets, muva oid meimros shel Hillel hazaken. There will be other comments of his, and we've numbered them. You'll see three comments of his total in this source. And of hityachasut shel hagemara lemeimro hashniya bedvar shor Rabbi Yochanan. And through the words of Rabbi Yochanan that follow the source, there will be a point that relates to the second thing mentioned, the first point in the brackets, the second statement of Hillel. So, as far as general structure is concerned, after the bracketed section, we return to the topic of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So, now that having been said, let's go through the bracketed section. Hu Hoya Omer. That is, that Hillel was known to say, Lamokim Shani Oyhev Shom Raglai Molichos Osi. The place that I love, that I want to be, my feet will take me there. Im ato tovel el beisi, ani avoy el beisecha. If you come to my house, I will come to your house. Im ato lo tovel el beisi, ani lo avo el beisecha. And if you don't come to my house, I won't come to your house. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Bechol hamakoyim asher azkir es shemi, avoy elecha uberachticha." Wherever I give a right for my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. The Gemara we just read you find very little reference to this in the Rashi, but later in the Gemara, this idea of feet leading one to a particular place, so there will be a story that Rabbi Yochanan shares after this source that will elaborate on that. But you can see in the context of things that Hillel is reflecting the idea of one being drawn, or ought to be drawn, to the Beis HaMikdash, a place that Hashem is desirous of. However, if a person resists that, so he won't have the bracha of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in return. We continue. Af hu ro'o gulgulis achas shitzofa apnei hamayim, and he saw once a skull floating on the water. Omerlo, and he addressed the skull and said, Al da'ataft atfuch, because you, must have been a wicked individual that used to kill others and drown other people. So you were drowned and now your skull is floating. Umatifayech yitufun. And those who killed you and caused your skull to float, they in turn will be victim of the same. We refer to this in other contexts as measure for measure, or a tit for a tat. What you do to others will then come back to oneself. Omar Rav Yochanan, Ragloi Debar Inish Inun Arvin Bey. The legs of a person are those are his guarantors. L'asar demisbe'i tamon movilin yasei. The place that he is, that he needs to be, his feet will carry him there. And this is going to be featured now in a story. The story, this Maisa, lasts a few lines. Hano Tarti Kushoi, Dahavu Kaimi Kami Shlomo. There were two Kushoi. The word Kushoi is explained as being two very fine-looking people, very beautiful people. And they served in front of Shlomo HaMelech. And their names, Elichoref V'Achio B'nei Shisha Sofrim D'Shlomo Havu. These people were court scribes of the king. Yom Achad Chazio L'Malach HaMoves D'Havu Ko'otziv. One day, Shlomo encountered the angel of death, and he saw that he was sad. Amalei Mayatzivus, Shlomo asked the angel of death, "Why are you sad?" Amalei de kabo minoi hani tarti kushoi diyasvi hocha. It's because I have been requested to get, and when the Malchum of us means requested to get, it means he was requested to get the souls, to have them die, to cause the death of these two scribes that are currently over here. And Shlomo HaMelech hears that, so he wants to make sure that nothing happens to them. Masrinu l'seirim, he gave them, the two scribes, Elichoref and Achio, to two seirim. Seirim are shadim. Rashi explains that Shlomo HaMelech had control over these forces, these quasi-spiritual forces known as shadim, sometimes explained as demons, but whatever the case is, he gave these people to the charge of the shadim, shadrinu lemechuzah deloz, and he sent them to the area of Luz. Now Luz was a place that the Malach HaMoves has no reign over it. Kimotu lemechuzah deloz shachivu, and when they got to the area, maybe the area surrounding Luz, they died. Lamohar Chazia Malach HaMoves David Kabodach. The next day, Shlomo HaMelech meets up with the Malach HaMoves and sees him happy. Amalei Amai Badichas, what are you happy about? Amalei, so the Malach HaMoves says, Ba'asa Devo Minoi, the place from which I was supposed to take their souls, Taman Shadrasinu, they were sent over there. You sent them over there. The Malach HaMoves basically is saying that though I am instructed to take someone, the location is also of significance, so that when I'm given a charge to take someone's life, the charge is take someone's life in such and such a place. And as you see, they were sent to that very place that he was charged to charged to take them from. Miyad posach Shlomo v'yomar. Immediately Shlomo HaMelech opened and said, Ragloi debar inish inun arvin bey, the legs of a person are his guarantors. La'asar demisbe'i tamon movilin yasei, the place that he needs to be, the legs will take him there. Tanya, Omru alov arabon Shimon ben Gamliel. It was said regarding Reb Shimon Gamliel, kishoy somech simchas beis ha'shoeva, when he was rejoicing in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Hoya Noitel Shmoina Avukos Shel Ur, he would take 8 torches, the zorek achas, the noitel achas, what we would call juggling, the ein noigos zu bazu, and they would not touch each other. Ukshuhu mishtachave, and when he would bow, he would do so in a very unique fashion. Noetz shnei gudlov baretz, he would wedge into the onto the ground his two thumbs. V'shoche v'noshek es horitzpa, what we would call, he would would seem to me from this Gemara that he would do a push up but on his thumbs, kiss the ground. V'zokef, and then from that position, from that horizontal position, he would stand up. Again, from that very position, that would require a great exertion on the part of his muscles of his midsection in order to do that. The ain called brio yuchilu lasis kain. Other people, no other person could do that. Vizu hi kida, and that is kida. Kida is an expression that you find vayikoid often. You find this at times in the Tanakh. So kida is what we just described. Levi achvi kida tamei de Rebbe veitla. Levi, who was from the generation that was at the crossroads between the Tanaic and Amoraic period, so he lived at the time of Rebbe, who was the compiler, the editor of the Mishnayos. So Levi Achvi demonstrated, literally, he showed or demonstrated kida in the presence of Rebbe, the itla, and something went wrong, and the itla, from the word solea, the tests and the tzadi interchange, and he ended up limping. In other words, in getting up from that position that we just described, it was too much of a strain on some part of his muscles, and it resulted in his limping. He became lame from that. The Gemara asks, "V'ha garmole? Is it so that is what caused his lameness?" V'amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar teaches, "Le'olam ayatiach adam dvorim klape mala." Person should be careful that when he's davening, when he's praying to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he should not pray in too harsh and demanding a fashion. That's al yatiach adam klape mala. Klape mala means heavenwards. Ayatich is the idea of not praying. Literally, Rashi says Yatich is Yizrok. Don't hurl things toward heaven. But it's a reference to speaking in too direct or too harsh and bold a fashion. Shari Odom Godol Hitiach Dvorim Klabima. There was a great man that did daven like that, V'itla, and it ended up, and as a result, he ended up becoming lame. Umanu Levi, and it was Levi. So, how is it that you're saying that Levi became lame from the Achvi Kida when you see his becoming lame from being Matiach Dvorim Klapi Mala? The Gemara answers, Ha V'ha Gorma Le. Each one was a causative factor. So that it's, in other words, the potential for becoming lame originated in his having spoken harshly to the Almighty in prayer. And the event that caused that potential to become actual was when he was demonstrating the kida. Before we go further, we glance at the side. We have a structural note, the Mivneh, because we see some series of double underlines. These are Gimel Rabbonim. We are reading on the side of the Gemara. Gimel Rabbonim, Shiyachlu, Lizrok, Dvorim, Shoinim, Bavir, Litfoisoisam, Kidei, Lisameach. Three rabbis that are, you see the names highlighted, Levi, Shmuel, and Abaye. They practiced juggling with the hope of creating enjoyment on the part of those watching them. So, and who were they specifically? So Levi Hava, there's a different girsa, Mitalel, Kamei de Rebbe, Levi would juggle in front of Rebbe. Betamni sakini, juggling eight knives. Tamni is eight, sakini knives. Shmuel kamei shover malka betamni mazgi chamra. Shmuel was able to juggle in front of the Persian monarch. His name was Shavur. Shavur, the monarch, in using eight cups filled with wine and nothing spilled. Abaye kamei deraba betamni bei. Abaye juggled eight eggs, bei or eggs, in front of Rabo. The Amri law, another version is ba'arbo bei, four eggs. Tanya. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Here another triangle. Shesmechim Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya tells us that when we were rejoicing in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, lo reinu shino beinenu, we did not experience any sleep. We didn't see any sleep in our eyes. We didn't sleep. Ketzad, how is this? Sho Rishona Tomid Shel Shachar. At the beginning of the morning, so you have the morning daily sacrifice. Misham Litfila, from there we went to prayer. Misham the Korban Musaf, after that to offer the Musaf sacrifice, because of course we're talking about Simchas Beis Shoeva is during the week of Sukkis, the Chol HaMoed days of Sukkis, so there is a Musaf offering. Misham Litfila Samusafim, and after that to the Musaf prayer. Misham Lebeis HaMedrash. What's interesting to note, by the way, is that in addition to the actual Musaf sacrifice, there's also a Musaf prayer. The Gemara in Brochos quotes two opinions, and one of the opinions quoted there is that Tfilos Keneged Tmidim Tiknun, that the prayers we have three times a day were established in honor, in recognition of the sacrifices that were offered. You have the morning sacrifice and the afternoon sacrifice. So they have a morning davening and an afternoon davening, and the nighttime was used for burning remains of sacrifices, and for that we have the evening arvis, mariv davening. And in addition to that, in that same sugya, it is mentioned that the musaf davening was in honor of the korban musaf. So one might get the impression from that gemara that when you have the korban, so you don't have the tefillah. That's that the tefillahs were established in commemoration of the sacrifices. But here you see that they were actually offering the korban musaf, and there was also a tefillah samusafim. That's a by the way point for those who are familiar with the Gemara and Brochas. So I'm sure this is interesting. We continue misham lebeis hamedrash. From there, of course, Torah study. Misham lachila ushtia, and after that, eating a meal, drinking. Misham litfilas amincha, and then the afternoon davening. What's noteworthy here is maybe the need to make reference also to the Tomid Shobain Harbayim. I think that maybe the Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShatz makes note of that, because we said before there was a Tomid Shel Shachar and then Tfilah. Here we have Tfilas HaMincha, so it would stand to reason that there was also a Tomid Shel Bein HaRabayim, the afternoon daily sacrifice that took place, even though it's not recorded here in the text. Misham, let us correct ourselves. We made a mistake. The order maybe should be, if you want to make it consistent with what was before, first you would make reference of the Tomid Shel Bein HaRabayim and then the Tfilas HaMincha. Whatever the case is, you see both are referred to here. Mikan ve'elech l'simchas beis HaShoeva, and then from after that you're dealing with the latter part of the day. They then went to the Simchas beis HaShoeva, and that took place all night, and that continued for the entire holiday. So what do you see from here? That basically, according to his testimony, they did not sleep during the whole of the balance of Sukkis. So the Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? Could that possibly be? The Amar of Yochanan, Shavua an oath, shvua, an oath, shelo ishan shloshim, a person swears that he won't sleep for 3 days, malkin oisoi v'yoshein latar, he is given lashes for having sworn a false oath. In other words, it's impossible not to sleep for 3 consecutive days. So if he swears thusly, it's an oath that is false at the outset. It's something that one cannot do. And we tell him to sleep immediately if someone were to swear like that. Ella, so, well, that having been said, how can it be said by Rabbi Shua ben Hanania that during the week of Simchas Beis Yerusheva they didn't sleep? The Gemara answers, Ella hochi komar. What should be understood in the original source with Rav Shimon Hananya is lo to'amnu ta'am shina. We didn't taste the taste of sleep. In other words, a physical type of sleep took place. However, a real, we'll call pleasurable sleep on one's bed, that they didn't do. Da'havu minamnami akasvi da'dodi. They would doze off on the shoulders of one another. So there was a brief sleep that they experienced, so that explains how they did. They were able to last a week, and not at the same time contradict the idea of the impossibility of going 3 days without sleep. Chomesh esrei malos. The Mishnah made reference to 15 stairs that descended from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Noshim, from the temple courtyard to the next courtyard, lower level, called the Ezras Noshim, the women's courtyard. And the Gemara continues with this point. Actually, before we begin the Gemara, we should take note of the note on the side, where they know say Mivneh heading. And you'll notice in the Gemara itself, there are Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Gishos, two approaches, Lahasbir, Keneged Mi Omar David, Es Chameshes Rei Shir HaMalos Shebetilim. There are passages in the Book of Psalms, that toward the end of the Book of Psalms, that you have, that open up with the words Shir HaMalos, and there are 15 passages like that. And we want to know in honor of whom, or in honor of what, did David HaMelech say those 15 passages. And we're focusing on the fact that there were 15. B'shnei HaGishos, with regard to the two approaches in the Gemara, Yesh Hityachasut L'chafiris HaShisin HaYidei David HaMelech. There's a connection made between the Shir HaMalos, or the 15, and the digging of the holes in the ground under the Mizbeach, under the Mokam HaNesachim, where the water libations and the wine libations would eventually flow. And we should mention parenthetically that this Gemara speaks about David HaMelech preparing those holes in the ground, as opposed to, we saw other approaches indicating that they were there, me sheshes yemei brachus. If you recall, we had a drasha, brachus al tikri, brachus el boroshis, that from the time of creation they were already there. So this approach that our Gemara will reflect here is different from that which the Gemara mentioned there. They're different opinions. So our Gemara, Omar le Rav Chisdo lahu midrabbonon davim komesader agadito kamei. There was Rav Chisdo addressed, he asked one of the rabbis that used to recite agadic passages in front of Rav Chisdo, used to recite to Rav Chisdo different agadic passages. And Omar Lei, Rav Chisdo asks him, Mi shmi aloch hani chomesh esrei malos keneged mi omram David. The 15 passages of Tehillim, beginning with the expression Shir HaMalos, in honor of what did David HaMelech say 15 of them? Omar Lei, so this fellow who is Mesader Agadata, he says, Hochi Omar Reb Yochanan. And he quotes Reb Yochanan, B'shah shekora David shisin, when David dug, korah is to dig, when he dug out the shisin, the space, the holes in the ground under the mizbeach. Of course, David HaMelech preceded the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but he prepared the area, so to speak. So he prepared the shisim. So when he was digging out the shisim, those are the tubes or the spaces under the mizbeach. Kofa means floated upwards. Kofa tahoima. Tahoima is a reference to subterranean waters of the depths. Kofa tahoima uboi v'mishtefa amo, and it was threatening the world with a flood. Omar David Chomesh Esrei Malos V'Horidon. David recited the 15 passages that we refer to as the Shir HaMalos, and that brought the water level down. The Gemara asks, if that is the case, if that's the real story, Yachi Chomesh Esrei Malos Yordos Mi Boyalei. What do you mean 15 Malos? Malos means that which rises. But if in his recitation, the purpose of reciting them was to cause the descent, so they should be referred to as Chomesh Esrei Yordos, something that the 15 descenders. Omar Lei. So Rashi explains that this is really Rav Chisda continuing. Hoyo v'adkarton, now that you have reminded me, in other words, what you said, even though I don't agree with the accuracy of what you said, but what you said reminded me. Hochi itmar, thusly it was said. It could be that thusly it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. B'shal shikora David shisin, and let's take note, by the way, structurally this is the beginning of the second version, and we also have called this a long point. So take note of the fact that this discussion will continue till the second, till the third to last narrow line on Amud Beis. So Rabbi Chisda says, "Well, you just reminded me that thusly it was said, B'shal shikara David shisin, when David was digging the shisin, kafa tahoima, the waters of the depths threatened the world with deluge, uba the mishtafal amos, it threatened the world with being flooded. Omar David asked." Mi ika diyoda ishori the mikhtav shame achaspa. We're at the top of Amud Beis. He says, "Is there anyone that knows this halacha? Does anyone know whether it would be all right to write the name of the Almighty on a shard? Chaspa is a piece of clay, a broken piece of clay, and the shard will sink to the bottom. V'nishtei b'tahoma umonach, and I'll cast this." Shard with God's name on it, and I'll cast it into the hole, and the waters will settle down. Leka dekomar le midi. No one answered David's question. Omar David. Now, Rashi points out that David himself may very well have known the answer to this, that in fact it's allowed, but his Rebbe Achitofel was present, and there's a halacha of ein mor and halacha b'fnei rab. A person is not allowed to issue legal rulings in the presence of their teacher. So in the meantime, David asked, does anyone know the halacha? No one answered. Omar David. Well, David was getting upset. He said, "Kol di yoda lemei marvieno omer yechanek begrono." Anyone who knows how to answer and doesn't answer, let him die of strangulation. Well, Nosa Achitofel Kavachomer Atzmo. Achitofel then made his own Kavachomer. The Kavachomer is a type of logic which a person, as opposed to, let's say, a Gezeirah Shavah, this kind of logic a person is allowed to do on his own and doesn't need an oral tradition for it. So what's the Kavachomer that he made? Uma Lasa Shalom Bein Ish Leishto. Mind you, in the case of a woman who's suspect of immorality, that suspicion can certainly raise strain and strife in one's household between man and wife, the wife being suspect of something problematic. So, and that's called, in one word, it's called soita, or parsha soita. And in that context, omra Torah, shmi shenichta b'kedusha, imocheh al hamayim. This is a reference to the writing out of what we call Parshas Sota. Parshas Sota is a section found in the Torah in Parshas Nosot, Parshas toward the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and in that Parsha of Parshas Sota, there are psukim that are written out on a separate piece of parchment in the Beis HaMikdash. In the case that a suspect woman is brought in, and in that parsha, the name of God appears. And part of the Sota procedure was to, after the parsha is written, the writing is then, the ink is then scratched out over water. That's Yimoche. And including in the erasing of that parsha is God's name. So the Kal Vachomer is my name. The Torah says, in speaking from the Almighty standpoint, my name, which was written in holiness, shall be erased over the water. Lasos shalom, and of course, what do we mean the shalom over there? It means that if the woman is found to be innocent, so she'll be able to live then in peace and harmony with her husband. So, mind you, we allow, for the sake of preserving a marriage, someone's home, we allow God's name to be erased. So lasos shalom lechol olam kulo, to make peace for the whole world, meaning to preserve the world from being deluged, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so the name of God can be written on the shard and cast into the water, and thereby saving the world from being flooded. Omar le shori. So Achitofel, after reasoning out this Kal Vachomer, he says it's okay. Kosav shem achaspo v'shodi l'tahoma. The Dovra Melech then wrote the name of Hashem on a shard and cast it into the waters, and it went down into the depths and did what it had to do, causing the water to recede. The Nochis Toima Shitzar Alfi Garmidi, and the Tahom, these waters of the depths that were just now threatening the world with flood receded. How far? 16,000 Garmidi, Garmidi or Amos, 16,000 Amos receded down into the ground. So deep down, deep into the ground. Ki chazi denochis tuva, when David saw that the waters had receded so much, Omar, David said, kamo demidli tfei mirtav almo. Midli means that which has risen, that which is raised. So the more the water is higher up, Tfei Mirtav, the damper the world will be. And it's important for agricultural purposes, certainly, for the world to be wet. So what is he going to do now? Now that the water has been 16,000 amos receded, and that's too deep down, so you know what? Omar, Chomesh Esrei Malos. David HaMelech recited the 15 passages that we referred to as the Shira Malos. V'askei Chamesa Alfi Garmidi V'ukmei V'Alfi Garmidi. As a result of those 15 passages, the water returned 15,000 amos, leaving them at a depth of 1,000 amos beneath the surface of the ground. So with this approach, we appreciate the idea of ma'alos. It's the raising of the water from the depths that they had descended to. Omar ulo shmamino, we can learn from here, sumcha de'ara alfi garmidi, the thickness of the ground, of the earth, is 1,000 amos. And in other words, the ground surface is measured 1,000 amos in thickness, and then below that you get to water tables. Oh, the Gemara asks, "V'ol chazinon de karina porto v'nofki maya?" We see that people dig much less than 1,000 amos deep, and digging just a little, and you reach water. So how do you justify saying beforehand that the water table is 1,000 amos down deep in the ground, when you see that life experience proves otherwise? Omar Rav Misharshia, ahu misuma de poras. When you described just now someone digging a little and already reaching water, that's a function not of the tahom of the waters of the depths, but that's a function of the Pras River, sometimes translated as the Euphrates River, whose water source is high up in the mountains. And there's a Rashi gets into a bit of a hydrology, water behavior in geological terms. We're not going to get into that level of detail, but suffice it to say that the water that we see after digging just a little bit comes from a source other than the waters of the Tahom that was described before being 1,000 amas deep, but rather it's from water sources that exist in the mountains. V'omdu kohanim b'shar elyon shiyored, and the Mishnah went on to say that the higiu l'malo asiris, they reached the 10th stair, and there was a blowing, a trumpeting. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, l'malo asiris, the expression of reaching the 10th stair. Bear in mind, they're going from the Ezras Yisrael down to the Ezras Noshim, and there were 15 stairs leading from one area to the other. So the Mishnah, having mentioned the 10th stair, what does that mean, 10th? The Nochis Chamisha V'Koi A'asara. Does it mean that you descended, they had descended 5 stairs, and they're now standing on the 10th stair from the bottom? Oidilma the Nochis A'asara. Or does it mean that they had descended 10 stairs? V'Koi A'chamisha, and they're now standing 5 stairs from the bottom. But you can see, according to either way, 10 figures. Either it's 10 stairs from the bottom, or you've reached 10 stairs from the top, now only 5 from the bottom. Teku, so this remains unresolved. We should, at this point, take a look, just to review, the end of the Mishnah that you noticed on back on page Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah had mentioned that when they were leaving the Beis HaMikdash, they reached the eastern gate, and it says there, Hafchu Pneim L'Mizrach, Mimizrach L'Maro V'Yomru. They turned about face. They were, since they were walking out of the Beis HaMikdash, they were walking in an easterly direction. So now they turned around with their face facing the Beis HaMikdash, the Omru, and the Mishnah there says, on the Nalef HaMid Beis, it says, Avosenu Shoyu B'Mokom Azeh, our forebearers that were in this place, Achoreim El Aichal Fneim Kedmo Mishtachavim Kedmo LaShemesh. Their backs were toward the Beis HaMikdash, and they were bowing easterly toward the sun, toward the place the sun rises. We are different, though. V'anu L'ka Einenu, and we have our eyes toward the Almighty. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. We now continue in the Gemara with a Tanaic source, but to appreciate that, we recounted that which the Mishnah says. And before we go on with the source itself, let's take a look at a pasuk featured here in Yechezkel, Perek Ches, Pasuk Tezayin, and we're going to read on the side of the Gemara just a fragment quote of that pasuk, and that's why we have three dots. It says, "Kesirim, keesrim, v'chamisha ish." There were 25 men. This is part of a prophetic vision that the prophet sees 25 men. Achoreim el heichal Hashem, ufneim kedmo. Their achoreim, their back sides, their posteriors were facing the heichal Hashem. And their faces were facing eastward. Behemo mishtachavisem kedmo vashemesh. And they were bowing eastward toward the sun, to where the sun rises. This pasuk seems to have a redundancy in it. It says their backs were toward the Heichal Hashem, and their faces were facing east. So the Gemara asks, "Mimashu shenema ufneim kedma," by simply saying that they in that prophetic vision that they were facing Kedma, east. Eini yodea, would I not know, shacharem el heichal Hashem? And yet when you read the pasuk, it says there were 25 men, their acharem were to the heichal Hashem, ufneim Kedma, and their faces were facing east, which is further into the pasuk that you can see on the side. So why, if you're going to tell me they're facing east, you have to add that their posteriors were toward the Beis HaMikdash? Everyone knows that the Beis HaMikdash, one enters from the east and walks westerly, eventually reaching the Beis HaMikdash, the enclosed part itself. So if you're facing east, I realize that your back is toward the Beis HaMikdash. Then why do you spell that out? That their back sides were toward the Heichal Hashem. The Lame, this teaches us, Shuporin Atzmon Umatrizin Klapei Mata. The people in this vision, there are 25 people that the Novi saw in his vision, it shows us that they were Porin Atzmon, they exposed their bodies, Umatrizin. Now, Klapei Mata is a euphemism. Mata means downwards, but it means heavenwards. Matrizin means, and they release their bodily waste in an open fashion, and they were doing so with that part of their anatomy facing the base Hamigdash with all their excrement exiting in that direction. Very, very disparaging. So, in the Mishnah, we see that the people at the simplest basis should have made reference to them, and they continued Anu l'ka l'ka inenu, and they said, we however are our eyes, we face the Almighty, and hence the symbolism in there when they were leaving the Beis HaMikdash, they turned around facing the Beis HaMikdash, in stark contrast to what these people in the prophet's dream were doing. The prophet's vision, that is. So it's said in the Mishnah that the public says that those at the Simas Vesheshev would say, Anu l'ka l'ka inenu. On the side under our topic heading, we've written, Ein lichpoil shem Hashem. One should not say the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a double fashion. Im kein eich omru anu l'ka. So therefore, that gives rise to our question, to their practice. Their problem with reciting the name of Hashem twice in succession could create the wrongful impression that there are two deities. So the Gemara asks, well, how could they do that? Eini, is that so? V'omar Rabbi Yizera, kol oimer Shema Shema. Anyone who repeats the first pasuk of Shema twice, Kilu Omar Moidim Moidim. It's as if he said the word Modim twice, and the Mishnah teaches us in Maseches Brochas that one who doubles these Mishaskinu, so we silence them. Because the repetition could create, as we said, the wrongful impression that he's acknowledging two deities. So what's with the story of our Mishnah with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Elohochi Amri. Rather, thusly, they said, Heimo Mishtachlim Kedmo. They, those people, the forebearers that the Novi had made reference to, they bowed eastward. The Anu Leka Mishtachavim. We bow not toward the sun, but we bow toward the Almighty. The Anu Leka. The Einenu L'ka Miachlos. So that there are two separate actions here. The double reference to Hashem is really means we bow to Hashem and our eyes are turned with hope to Hashem. Rashi points out halfway down the page, Anu L'ka Mishtachavim U'L'ka Einenu Miachlos the Kevon de Atrei Mili Komatkir Komatkule Trey Zimni Velav Achada Milsa Trey Zimni. Since on two separate matters, he is mentioning Hashem. And so the two separate matters, there's the bowing and the hopefulness. So it's not like the mentioning of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name twice on one matter. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, the Nosei. Mispar Tkiyo Isu Churos Shehoyu BaMikdash. The number of blasts, of call it the shofar blasts, that is done in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah. Ein pochasin me'esrim ve'achas tkiyos b'mikdash. One will not find less than 21 tkiyos, so blasts, ve'ein mosifin al arboi mishmona. And there will be no more than 48. And the Mishnah accounts for these numbers. B'chol yoim hoyu sham esrim v'achas tkiyos b'mikdash. On every day, there were 21 blowings. Shalosh lepsicha sharam. Three for the opening of the gates. So that when the gates were opened, there would be a tkiya trua tkiya blown. V'teisha L'tomid shel shachar, and there were 9 blasts during the offering of the morning daily sacrifice. Rashi says, "Keshoy menaschem es nischei atomid alvim omer b'shir." And as the levim were saying the shir, they would be shofar blowings. So there are 9 accounted for the tomid shel shachar. V'teisha l'tomid shel ben arbayim. Another 9 when the afternoon sacrifice is offered. The musafin hayu mosifin ol teisha, and if there was a musaf sacrifice, so they would add another 9. Uber of Shabbos on a standard Friday hayu mosifin sheish, there would be 6 more blasts. Shalosh lahavtil esha'om mimalacha. 3 blasts to announce that the people should stop doing malachas, v'sholosh lahavdil bein kodesh l'chol, and 3 to announce the distinction, the separation between the weekdays, the end of Friday, and the beginning of Kodesh, the beginning of the holy day of Shabbos. Erev Shabbos shebesoch hachag hoyu shom arboim u'shmoina. If you have a Friday coinciding with the middle of Sukkot, you will find 48 sounds, 48 tkiyos and truos. Shalosh lepsichas shorim, 3 at the opening of the gates. Shalosh l'shar elyon, 3 more blown at the upper gate. Shalosh l'shar atachton, and 3 more for the when they arrived at the lower gate. V'sholosh l'miloi hamayim, 3 for the filling of the water. And we're talking, of course, about the water for the nisuch hamayim, which took place during Sukkot. And we didn't mention maybe, but the line before, shebesoch hachag, the word chag is a reference to Sukkot. So we're 3 blasts at the filling up of the water. V'sholosh al gabi mizbeach. Now Rashi explains, Al Gabi Mizbeach is a reference to the time that they were standing the Arova branches around the Mizbeach. So at that time there were 3 more blasts. Teisha L'tomid Shel Shachar, 9 for the afternoon daily sacrifice. V'teisha L'tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. So let's go over that again. There were 9 for the morning daily sacrifices, and 9 more blasts for the afternoon daily sacrifice. V'teisha l'musafim, and 9 more for the musaf offering. Shalosh lahavtil esa'om in amalacha. We're dealing once again in this example with a Friday sukkah situation. Friday leads into Shabbos, so during Friday, people, it was still Chol HaMoed, people were doing malachas, but so we have to make an announcement, and it's done through shofar blowing to stop doing malachas. So that counts for 3 blasts, and then, v'sholosh lahavdil bein kodesh l'chol, 3 more to announce the coming in of Shabbos. So if you count up all these numbers, you will get to 48. Masnisen de lo kributa. Our Mishnah appears to be unlike Rebbe Yehuda. On the side of our Gemara, when there are our Nosei, we call this a Hemshech, is a continuation of the topic just before about the number of tkios. So we feature here Machlokes Tanoim Beinyan Mispar Ha Tkios. We're going to see a Machlokes Tanoim regarding the numbers. The Rebbe Yehuda will give us a range of minimum 7, maximum 16, and according to Rabbanon, minimum 21, maximum 28. Now, do you see a relationship between these numbers? The numbers of Rebbe Yehuda and the numbers of the Rabbanon. Well, you might notice that the numbers given by the Rabbanon are given in a similar fashion by Rebbe Yehuda, but one-third. In other words, Rebbe Yehuda's range was 7 to 16. Well, 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 16 is 48. So our Gemara picks up on this and says, Masnisa delok Rebbe Yehuda, our mission appears to be unlike Rebbe Yehuda. Desanya Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Hapoches Leifchos Misheva Vamoisif Leyosif Al Sheishes Rei. Rebbe Yehuda says that no less than 7 and no more than 16 blasts in the Beis HaMikdash. The Maikom Eflegi, what's the basis of this Machlokes? Rebbe Yehuda Sovar, Tkia Trua Tkia Achasi. That those three sounds, the Tkia sound, the Trua Staccata sound, and the Tkia, they count in Rebbe Yehuda's mind as one. Rabbanan Sabri Tkia Luchud Trua Luchud. The Rabbanan, though, take that same unit and say it's really made of three parts, so that Rebbe Yehuda, in counting the shofar blow, the blowings, what the Rabbanan will tell you is 21. That's a function of his counting Tkia 1, Trua 2, Tkia 3, again the next one, Tkia 1, Trua 2, Tkia 3, and down the line. Well, that's as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned. He says that those are not viewed as three separate sounds, but they're viewed as one entity. Rabbanan Sabri Tkia Luchud Utrua Luchud. Rabbanan hold, no, a Tkia is counted on its own and a Trua is counted on its own. My time with Rebbe Yehuda, what is the basis of Rebbe Yehuda, who says that the Tkia Trua Tkia is considered one entity? Omar Kro, there is a Pasuk. And the diamonds, of course, you can see we feature on the side, my taimo de Rebbe Yehuda Rabbanan. We're going to be looking into their reasons. So what is it? Tells Rebbe Yehuda that Tkia Trua are considered one. Omar Kro uskatem Trua. And the Girsa on the side says Alma Trua utkia achasi. Says, and you shall tokea a Trua. So there's a verb and a noun, so that they seem to be one unit. V'rabbonon, the Rabbonon, what do they do with the pasuk of Uskat and Trua? So Ahu Lipshuta Lefonel Ulachrel Hudasa. That comes to tell me that a Trua blast must be preceded and followed by a Tkia, a singular blast. Rabbanan, my tamayu. The Rabbanan, what is the basis of what they? We skip something. Let's go back. Rabbanan, ahu, the pasuk that Rebbe Yehuda just cited to indicate that the tkiyah trua tkiyah are one element. Rabbanan, ahu, lepshuta lefanel pshuta achrei hudasa. Okay, and I think we said that. The Rabbanan used that pasuk for telling me a separate halacha, and that is that whenever a trua is to be sounded, it must be accompanied with a tkiyah before and after. Rabbanan Maitamayo, what is the basis of the Rabbanan? This is our second diamond. That what is the source for them saying that there is a difference between the Tkia and the Trua, that they're separate entities? Dechtiv Vakila Sakol Tisku Velo Soriu. That's the pasuk. It says, and when you're gathering the nation, the people together, Tisku, what's Loshan Tkia, Velo Toriu, and not Trua.
So, the Isaka Daitoch Pia Trua Achasi, if you were to think that they're considered one inextricable unit, then Omar Rachmana Palga the Mitzvah Ovid Palga Lo Ovid, would the Torah instruct to do half a mitzvah, yeah, half a mitzvah, no. Yet the Pasuk says, Tiske'u v'lo tariu. So if that be the case, it must be that one stands independent of the other. So when it says tiske'u, it means do the mitzvah of tkiah without doing a trua. And that's not half a mitzvah, simply saying do one and not two mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda, what's his response? Because from this pasuk, it would seem quite convincing that they are the two sounds of fuse into being one unit. Rebuta, Ahula Simona Biamahu Dasa, the Pasuk that you quoted, which said Ubahakula Sakal Tiskubilosriu, that is not a mitzvah, a commandment to blow, but it's rather a simon, a sign of how to gather the people. So that you can't bring any proof from there to topics that are mitzvah-oriented. Rabbanon's response is simonu. They acknowledge that it is a simon, that it's a sign. V'rachmona shavya mitzvah. However, the Torah, by telling you that this is the way to gather people, it's telling me that it is a mitzvah. So that, according to the Rabbanon, it said, Tisku velosariu, Tkia, don't do a trua. So it must be that they are separate entities and not two halves of the same thing. Kiman az lahodim Rav Kahana. Umar wants to know, like whom would Rav Kahana's statement, be appropriate? What does Rav Kahana say? It says, Ein bein tkia l'trua velo klum. There is no gap between the tkiah and the trua. Come on. So who would say that between the tkiah and trua there is to be no gap? Rebbe Yehuda. That would seem to conform with Rebbe Yehuda. Why? Rebbe Yehuda says a tkiah, trua, tkiah is just one unit. So if it's one singular unit, there should be no break between them. And that would be what Rav Kahana is telling us. So in reading the Gemara, we said, Keman, Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara asks, Pshita. That's obvious. That's obvious that Rav Kahana's comment conforms only with Rebbe Yehuda, not the Rabbanon. Because the Rabbanon said, Tkia, Trua, Tkia are separate units. The Gemara asks, Pshita, is this not obvious? So we continue at the top of the Afnun Dalid. Mahu detemo. Without Rav Kahana, I would have thought, Afilu, Kirabonon. In other words, what Rav Kahana taught, what we see in the Gemara is the Gemara revealed to us that Rav Kahana is like Rebbe Yehuda. So we're asking on the Gemara. The Gemara's revelation seems to be very obvious. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u d'tema." Without the Gemara's revelation that Rav Kahana is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Afilu Kirabonon. I would have thought that Rav Kahana's comment is in accordance with the Rabbanon as well. Now, but did he not say there's no gap between the Tki and Trua, and the Rabbanon viewed each one as a separate entity? So what would Rav Kahana be accomplishing by telling me that halacha and citing that it's in the name of the Rabbanon? There is value. This is all a havamina. This is what I would have thought. Ulafuke midu Rabbi Yochanan. And Rav Kahana is coming to exclude that which Rabbi Yochanan says. The Omar Shoma Teisha Tkiyas B'Teisha Shos B'Yom Yotza. Rabbi Yochanan says that on Rosh Hashanah, when you're from the Torah standpoint, there are nine sounds that you hear. You're supposed to hear during the day. Nine. That's the Teisha Tkiyas. So Rabbi Yochanan says that if you were to hear one blast each hour of the day, so over, since we have a total of nine blasts that we have to hear to fulfill the Torah's requirement, say Torah's requirement, in contrast to what we do, we blow many more blasts. But according to the Torah, all you have to hear is 9. And if you heard the 9 spread over a course of 9 hours, Rabbi Yochanan says you'd be Yotze. So I would have thought that what Rav Kahan is telling me, you, when you blow tkiah, trua tkiahs, blow them, you're allowed to have a little gap, but just don't do it with such large gaps like Rabbi Yochanan. So that Rav Kahana is coming to preclude Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore Rav Kahana's statement could be in conformity to the Rabbanan as well, the Rabbanan who view tkiah, trua tkiah as separate units. Komash Malon, our Gemara reveal that Rav Kahana's halacha is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. We ask, well, v'yema hochinami, well, why not say that Rav Kahana is really a reflection of the Rabbanan and all he's trying to do is exclude or preclude Rabbi Yochanan's approach? Gemara says, no, im kain, if Rav Kahana's role is to simply preclude Rabbi Yochanan, and at the same time, the tkiah, trua tkiah are separate entities, my velo klum. What is the significance of Rav Kahana adding that expression? He said, ein bein tkiah, trua, velo klum. Velo klum means there's no gap whatsoever. So if that be the case, if there's no gap whatsoever, that shows us that Rav Kahana is a reflection of the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, that tkiah, trua tkiah are considered one unit. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.